In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we have a very important parable to consider from the Scriptures. And I say parable because you must read most of the miracles as parables, because they are there for our instruction. They are there to teach us something about ourselves. The Lord did many miracles, and only a very few of them are recorded. There's a reason why the ones that were recorded are in the record. And this one is a parable of your life. It's important to understand, because if you do not live in such a way that you weep, then you will not have the resurrection. This is a parable of how we should live and of the resurrection. It is, shall we say, one of the kingdom parables. Now, if you go through textbooks, you can find that there are certain parables that are called the kingdom parables. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who finds a lost coin, etc., etc. I don't know how many there are, perhaps something near a dozen or so or less. This is also a kingdom of heaven parable, because the kingdom of heaven parables teach us how to gain the kingdom and what we will endure in order to be in the kingdom, and then something of what the kingdom is like. And that's exactly what this miracle tells us. There was a widow of Nain. She had lost her son, her only son. That was a catastrophe in that day. There was no social security net. She was going to starve. She was going to become sick. She had nothing, besides not having her husband and not having her son. And the Lord saw the funeral procession, and he stopped the bier. And he said something that's very important, that we must understand. And we must understand its context and its timing. Because if we don't, it seems to contradict some of other scripture. He stops the bier, he touches it with his hand. They stand still. And he says, "Weep not." Words that the woman certainly did not understand. "Weep not, I've just lost my son. I've just lost my living. I've just lost my light, my joy." And yet he says, "Weep not." And then, of course, almost immediately thereafter, he says, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he gets up and he begins to speak. Now, these are all things that have mystical meaning as well as being part of the historical record. When he begins to speak, that must be from knowledge. You can't speak without knowledge unless, of course, a person is mad. And then they make no sense. The knowledge is the knowledge of God, to be able to worship God in spirit and truth, to be able to know him. That's the condition in the kingdom, to be able to speak of God. Right now, we can barely do this. We can't do it accurately, and we can't do it without shame. But in the kingdom of heaven, we will be able to speak freely, as the angels do. And yet more so besides, because the mysteries that the God will give to us are much more than the angels. Things that they can't even look into, we will know. So this man speaking is, as it were, a prophecy of the kingdom. And the Lord saying, "Weep not," is a prophecy of the kingdom for each one of us. But I told you, context is important. This woman was weeping, and it was appropriate for her to weep. But the Lord told her not to weep. But he told her not to weep as he was raising up her son, or about to raise up her son. You know the scripture that says, "Blessed are those who weep now, for they shall laugh." The weeping that we do now will lead to laughter. You have to have that weeping. You have to have sadness concerning your sins, concerning the state of the world, concerning the state of your loved ones and everything else.
I talked with that recently. It's called the remembrance of death. Not remembering that you're going to die. Everybody knows that. But feeling that there is death in the world and life is only in God. Nowhere else. In nothing else. That is the kind of weeping we must have. And that weeping is not inconsolable weeping. This woman was probably weeping inconsolably. She had nothing. Our weeping is always with hope and with joy. It must be. But we must weep. We must. And this is our life. To weep and to seek God. Now, perhaps that sounds rather onerous to you. Perhaps that sounds too much to handle. It's the way of life. And it's really the truth. If you look at your life honestly, you see that there is much that is missing. Much that should be there and is not. Much that is there that should be gone. You see things among your loved ones in the world. You see sadness. You see injustice. You see pointlessness and purposelessness, both in your own life, in the things you do during the day, whether you waste time or not, and in other people's lives. That's terribly sad. It's not what we were made for. We were made to be able to speak of God, to know Him, to be with Him and in Him, and Him in us, completely, not partially. So it's sad that we don't have that. That is the weeping we must do. So I say to you that in this parable, you and I, we are the woman. Because we are the one who should be weeping about the things that should make us weep. Our sins, our passions. The fact that so much in the world is temporary. Everything in the world is temporary, except for one thing. Who you become and who everyone else becomes. That's permanent. Because we are eternal beings. We were made for eternity, every one of us. Whether we live according to that truth or not, it is manifest in us. And so, we must be thinking always of eternity. And we must be weeping. But not without hope. Because the Lord will come. And He will touch the bier. And I suppose then we are also the boy too, right? He will raise us up. We are both the woman and the boy. We must weep, and the Lord will raise us up. Absolutely. There's an important other element in this parable that you must listen to closely. When the Lord touched the bier, they stood still. That's important. We must stand still. We must wait on the Lord. We must pray to Him with fervor, with desire, with blood. It's important. Otherwise, we won't know Him. And this standing still takes effort. It takes practice. It is a skill that must be learned. We don't naturally stand still. We're more or less like birds flitting from tree to tree. You ever watch them, especially this time of year? It makes no sense what they're doing. They fly from the tree to the line, back to the line, to another line, to the tree. It makes no sense. That's what our soul is like, flitting back and forth, not paying attention, wasting time, praying with inattention, pursuing things that don't matter, and not pursuing things that do matter. So we must struggle to pursue these things that matter. I tell you, develop the ability to pray with attention, to stand still. I think the Jesus Prayer is the best thing for it. All of you should be praying the Jesus Prayer. Not just in your car. That's a good thing, by the way. Some of you will say to me how you get angry about traffic. It's very difficult to get angry about traffic if prayer of Jesus is on your lips. Just try it. Just find it. When someone cuts you off, you'll feel anger rise up and it'll be stopped by the prayer of Jesus right there. because you'll feel like a fool and ashamed to be angry when you have your Lord's name on your lips. Try it. See if it works for you. It will if you pray. It will. But also to pray in your closet, to pray with weeping, to pray with desire and intensity, to stand still. Slow yourself down. Read the gospel with attention. Read the Psalms and enter into the mind of the psalmist. Every single possible way to pray is in the Psalms. Every possible life situation is in the Psalms. And every solution for them is in the Psalms. Make them your prayer. And stand still and wait for the Lord to touch your bier, and He will. But because this is a parable, it's pointing to our entire life. What happened to the woman in a short few moments, perhaps 3-4 seconds, happens to us over the course of our lifetime. So we must still be in that situation where we are weeping, but weeping with expectation, with desire. This, to me, is what distinguishes true Christianity from every other religion, including Christianity, if you can call it that, outside of the Orthodox Church, is this understanding of the need to weep and what kind of weeping we should have. Weeping with expectation, weeping with desire. The Lord will touch your bier. Do you believe that? Can you answer that 100%? I would say, no, not yet. None of us can. Not 100%. There's always things in our heart that pull us back, that make us doubt, that make us feel we cannot endure. Yet one more time, we just can't do it. But the Lord will always help us. And we will be to the point, if we continue, struggling to stand still, to really believe that the Lord will come to touch our bier. It will happen. And we will have joy, and we will stand up, and we will be able to speak the mysteries of God and understand them and be in His presence and be unashamed. And there will only be laughing, only happiness. There will be no sadness, no sighing, nor sorrow. That is the kingdom of God. And we are attaining it even now. There are moments in our lives when we actually have times when the Lord says, weep not, and then we have some joy. It's never complete. It cannot be complete. Because it will only be complete when we are completely filled with God. There's too much in us that God will not be a part of. So we must empty those things out. And when we do, and we are completely filled with God, yes, indeed, when He says, weep not, we will be filled with joy. That's the purpose of your life, brothers and sisters. Yet another definition of salvation. I don't know what number this is, huh? Something in the 300s, probably. It is that the Lord will say, weep not, and we will be filled with joy and be able to speak the mysteries of God. May it be so for all of us. God bless you and help you. Amen.